bill on the agenda, so we'll welcome Senator Mae Quade to the table. While she's coming up, on your agendas, you'll note that MMB has sent each of you through our office a full set of the governor's budget, which is a pretty thick load of paper. We can get you some three-ring binders. You can get them from Sargent's office if you want them that way. And for future going forward, like for the next, the governor's revised budget, we're going to be asking that they only provide online copies except for members who really want them. So please let our office know if you want to continue receiving the truckload of paper. We have 13 copies of it, so you'll all be getting your copy if you haven't already. With that, we'll start with Senator Mae Quade. Welcome to the committee of Senate File 71.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. I'm here to talk about a really, really important issue that is happening in Minnesota, but also about to approach a crisis point. Food shelf visits in Minnesota are up across the state more than any year on record, and this is in large part due to the rise in food prices and the loss of pandemic relief programs. The surge in demand is putting more pressure on food shelves, and they have to do more with less. And in some cases, food shelves have had to limit the amount of food that they can give out. Food shelves are seeing families and clients that they have never seen before. And what we've arrived at is a place where emergency funding is needed to help food shelves with this huge increase in demand. And so Senate File 71 before you will appropriate an emergency funding to help meet the needs in communities. I do want to also note that emergency SNAP actually will end in March of this year. This eSNAP benefit allowed the maximum amount per household to be taken during the pandemic, and if they were already receiving the maximum amount, they could receive more than that. So at a minimum, households were able to receive an additional $95 each month for food. And so there's about 225,000 families in Minnesota who were issued that eSNAP benefit during November of 2022, and so we know that this one-time appropriation is timely and important, but there is a difference between giving people direct money for food and money for food shelves, so I just want to name that for you, that there is a looming crisis coming in March that this will hopefully help with, but is not going to fully solve. I can talk a little bit about how funds are appropriated, under what statute food shelves live. Happy to answer any of those questions, but please know that this just is a very urgent matter, and I really appreciate your attention and your time on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Mae Quade. Before a question, I have one question, and that is, if this appropriation were to go through, say it were signed into law tomorrow, how long will it take for the money to get to the food shelves?
Mr. Chair, it takes about 3 months. So it goes from MMB to DHS, and then they amend the Hunger Solutions contract, and then the allocation of funds is sent out, and then we expect about 250 to 300 food shelves to apply. And so they'll work as fast as they can, but it will take about 3 months for that to happen, which is why you see the urgency both in the text and in my testimony today.
Thank you. Senator Dreheim.
Thank you, Chair Marty. Wouldn't it be quicker to use leftover COVID money, which was kind of the intent of some of those programs we got from the federal government? And wouldn't that speed this up more than 3 months to get this out if it is needed?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dreheim, the way that food shelf programs work in the state of Minnesota is that the money has to go kind of through that process, whether it comes from one-time money of COVID or the general fund, because it's a highly monitored federal and state program. Does that answer your question?
Yes, but I don't buy that it would take 90 days to get out something if it's an emergency. And if that is the case, we should really, you know, if this isn't federally funded or federally matched, why would we have to go by their guidelines if we're funding it? We could use the same channels, but I don't think we have to follow the feds if we're using our own funds and there's no matching requirements.
Mr. Chair. Senator Dreheim, so the way that the way that the process works for food shelves is that they have to apply for the money and then applications have to be reviewed, and so that process just takes the time that it takes regardless of where the money comes from.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator McQuaid and Senator Dreheim. You know, I think in addition, on top of the kind of the normal process, I think that government is probably a little nervous about this after Feeding Our Future, where that was such a debacle that they really want to make sure that they do it correctly and do it properly. I think it's really unfortunate that we had criminals involved in food programs that where the money should have gone to hungry children and families. But that is, you know, I mean, it's kind of a trade-off there. If you do it too fast, then you have the risk that you could have a mini Feeding Our Future. And if you don't do it fast enough, a lot of families are going hungry.
Mr. Chair.
Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Pappas for that. And I think it's really important to note that while, you know, Feeding Our Future and this bill kind of deal with the same topic, they're just really, really separate issues. The way that we regulate food shelves and applications and food distribution through the food shelves and through the Emergency Food Assistance Program is just really, really different from that scenario. And so I understand if folks are feeling a little bit about that, but it just has to deal with the same topic and not in any way the same way that the program is administered.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for clarifying that.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Quaid, thank you for bringing this forward. Question for you, can you give me some idea, typically, what kind of a percentage would there be going to Greater Minnesota versus a metro area?
Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Dames, for that question. I do have some statistics for you on the visit change by county, and every food shelf that operates under the Emergency Assistance Food Program tracks the number of clients they see, and so there's a change month to month, and the new numbers just came in, I think, this week. For the previous month, the change is about the same, slightly different. But what we see is the highest percentage growth in counties have been in Greater Minnesota. So in Lincoln County, it's been a 442.2% increase. Faribault County, it's a 307.1% increase. Itasca County has been 253% increase. Washington has been 248, you know, 242 in Sherburn, 241 in Cook, 232 in Beltrami, 169 in Steele. So the way that this, the way that the funding is appropriated is based on that need and through that application process. And what we're seeing is that most of the increase in the need is happening in Greater Minnesota.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator. So what kind of backstops or what does Hunger Solutions do to make sure that the distribution is done equally according to the request and according to these percentages you're talking about?
Mr. Chair, thank you.
Equitably.
Senator Dames, if you look at 256E.34 of our state statute, that is the section of law that deals with how our food shelves operate. And so not only is there a robust application and distribution program, but there is robust monitoring, reporting back to the state, and reporting out by Hunger Solutions. So I'd be happy to bring back to this committee the results of that distribution, but it is distributed by where the need is. But the expenditure in Subdivision 5 of 256E.34 and Subdivision 4 is the use of money and the enforcement. And so that will be reported back to the state and is very regularly.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator McQuaid, you were saying several hundred percent increases in a lot of counties. Is that, what's the lowest increase in any county?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So there are two counties where we saw fewer visits. Sibley County has is down 13.7%, and Redwood is down 9.3%.
But the average statewide, what's the average then?
The average statewide is up pretty significantly. I think there's like 1 million more food shelf visits in 2022 than there were in the previous years. I have it's 2.1 million, excuse me, in 2022 than in 2021. So if you see my lovely little graph here, you'll see that shooting line. This is the trajectory that we're on.
Further discussion, Senator Pratt.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator McQuaid, is this a brand new concern that's cropped up over the last, let's say, couple of weeks?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Senator Pratt, No. Food insecurity has been rising across the state, both in children and seniors and college campuses. Part of what makes this particularly timely is the ending of those e-SNAP, the emergency SNAP benefits that's coming in March. And so we know with the increased visits that we're seeing across the state and the ending of that program, and with food shelves already being stretched so thin, we're kind of converging two crises at one time.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Sarah McQuaid, you know, last year we appropriated $190 million to the governor for COVID emergency management. And, you know, as part of that, you know, health supports were, and I would say, you know, food insecurity is certainly a health issue. He still has $60 million left. Why hasn't the governor appropriated any of his emergency management money that we've already given him to this issue so that we're not having to come back and apply and grant emergency funds?
Mr. Nauman, can you speak to what the COVID funds are able to be used for?
Mr. Chair and members, it's my recollection it's for COVID testing, COVID management, some health expenses. There's some public education expenses associated with this. I think it's a question whether that these particular appropriations could be used for that purpose. I mean, whether the funds could be used for this particular purpose.
Senator Brett.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, certainly health supports, I believe, was one of the options. We can certainly say that, you know, nutrition is vital to staying healthy and fighting off the virus. And it just seems to me that, you know, as we continue to look at this, and we've had a governor that has played fast and loose with the rules at times and how definitions are done, it certainly seems if this were a priority for the governor, he could have gotten it done.
Mr. Chair.
Senator McQuaid.
Senator Pratt, I appreciate that, and I obviously can't speak for Governor Walz, but I do know that the way that the statute is written is that it's really specific on how money is appropriated from the legislature to Hunger Solutions to food shelves. And so I, you know, wanting to get this out the door as quickly as possible, wanted to make sure that we're following all the rules that are laid out by this legislature and statute.
Further discussion? If not, Senator Friends moves that Senate File 71 be recommended to pass. Is there a discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. I will remind members that the notes, you should have each gotten a note related with your agenda about how next week we're expecting to meet all 3 days where we have meeting times, but we don't know that for sure. We don't know the bills yet. And also the note that, again, if you don't want the full paper copy of the governor's budget next time around, it is available online, which is frankly a lot more manageable to read than the 7 or 5 or however many books you get. But anyhow, you are getting this one, and let us know if you do want to continue getting the paper version. With that, there's no further business, and this meeting is adjourned.